We live in a society that hides the worst of us. We don't want to see that. We don't want to believe this in our country, this the land of the free and the brave, that people are selling children.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Radically Loved Radio. I wanted to create a place where people can go to get inspired, get motivated, or find some clarity and get tools to create a radically loved life. I will do my best to provide information on a variety of subjects, including yoga, holistic health, life coaching, spirituality, meditation, and overall mindful living. Each episode will bring you some of the world's best spiritual leaders, entrepreneurs, yoga teachers, coaches, along with some of my closest friends, and we will talk about their life experiences and journeys to create something more out of their lives and how they continue to grow to make that happen. Thanks for listening.
Today's guest is Gina Stryker, and when I say I am humbled to be in this woman's atmosphere and presence would be an understatement. She is one of my biggest inspirations, and she is a woman that is not only pioneering the food movement, but is also pioneering activism for women all over the world. She is the founder of Gina Cucina and is not only a renowned chef, she's also a champion of the real food movement. Gina Cucina is committed to lending their full efforts to build awareness to help end the greatest issue of our time, human trafficking. It is their obsession, period. They take these issues that people or we don't like to think about and puts them at the forefront to understand that there's children's lives at stake. It's not some other country's problem. It's happening here in America. 250,000 children are trafficked each year, and this has been Gina's passion, and I was so excited to have her on as a guest talking about not only her tenacity, her desire to thrive, but all of the reasons why she's motivated to do what she does. Here's Gina Stryker. One of the things that I found most moving, and I've obviously been familiar with your work and what you've been doing and the accolades you've received with all of the humanitarian work that you're putting out in the world. But when you were speaking yesterday at the Lead with Love, on the Lead with Love panel with Amanda, was it took me back to this place when I was like 6 or 7. There was this group of women that lived with this man, and they were immigrants. And one of them was his girlfriend or something. And I'm sure that there was some sort of, you know, some sort of like, power he had over these women, because they weren't allowed to speak to anybody, and we just kind of knew them. We would say hi, and I remember my grandmother at one point went over there to like bring them food and stuff. Like, my grandma would make tamales and stuff, and she went over there one time, and I remember one night hearing screams that were so loud and so just so agonizing. And I remember, you know, looking at like my family and, you know, my parents and being like, we need to call the police. Like, well, why isn't anybody doing anything? I was little, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember just, you know, and nobody did. Nobody called the cops. Nobody called, because that's just, you know, you're in an immigrant community. You know, the police will means that you'll be taken away. And so everyone was always in fear. And I don't actually know. They ended up moving away. And I don't know what ended up happening to them. But I did find out later that he was into trafficking women. And so I've actually never spoken to, I've said the story to, you know, people that I closest to me that I know. But when you were speaking about this to me, I'm just like, wow, this is something that people don't talk about it enough. I think that there's definitely a way for us to elevate awareness with human trafficking. So I'm glad to have you on, obviously.
I am full of gratitude to be on. So thank you very much. It's interesting what you say, because you're right. People are afraid to discuss human trafficking because it's an ugly truth that happens in the United States. People like to think, oh, that happens in South America, or that happens in India, or that happens, you know, in third world countries. But in reality, last year alone, in 2017, there were 250 to 300,000 American children, average age 12 to 14, that were trafficked. And my company, we have a program we called Kids Are Not For Sale. And we put it on every, we sell soup. Yeah. So we put it on every jar of soup that we sell. It's on the back label. And there's information to go to our website and to look at what you can do. And one of the things that we say is, if you see something, say something. And it's interesting what you said about they were never allowed to talk, because we hand out these little brochures that talk about what to look for if someone is not in charge of their own money, if someone doesn't know really what their whereabouts are, if someone is not allowed to speak, something's wrong. If you ask someone, when was the last time you saw your mother? Something's wrong if they can't answer that. And so you need to, what we work on is raising awareness around the cause of human trafficking. It is an issue in the United States. Mm. And until people are not afraid to speak about it, it will continue to be an issue. It is the largest growing, quickest growing criminal activity today. It's surpassed illegal arms sales, and it's well on its way to surpassing illegal drug sales, because a victim who is trafficked can be trafficked 10, 15, 20 times a night, whereas drugs are trafficked once and they're gone. So it is, we live in a time and place where the abundance that we have is in human life. And that's one of our greatest resources. And we have created a situation where everything is disposable. You know, you go to the store and you see 100 different types of water bottles, plastic water bottles, you throw them away. And there are people out there who are not afraid to throw away human life, and they don't see value in it. Mm-hmm. They say that today the average human life is worth $90. And so people who are out there taking advantage, they don't care about human life. It's like they drink their bottle of water and they toss it out the trash. They don't even recycle that. Mm. You know, so human, and the younger, the more vulnerable they are, the more they can hold power over them and sway them to do what's needed of, you know, what they need to do. They make each child or victim that's trafficked in the United States is worth $250,000 to the trafficker. So it's a heinous crime. It's a crime that oftentimes, most times, goes unpunished. And so that's something that needs to change. We need to, A, raise the awareness, B, figure out how we can be more succinct in punishing not only the trafficker, but the end user, because there's no punishment for the end user.
That's, and so just to, you know, I'd love to just hear a little bit of more about how you became so passionate about this cause, because you are passionate about it. I mean, you know, this and making awesome soup, obviously. But what sort of was there an event that happened, or maybe that's something you've always been interested in bringing awareness to? How did you come to find this to be your passion?
I remember something that happened when I was about 16. I skipped school. I went up to get a sandwich before track practice because I was a runner and I needed something to eat, right? And the story is told to me. I don't recall it specifically, but a van followed me up Main Street. I lived in a tiny little town, population 724. I walked out the door, and the van was standing there with the door open. And the man started asking me questions. And I'm 16. I'm like, oh, la 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 la. You know, I just start answering because I'm open. I'm naive. I'm in a little community. And all of a sudden, I hear at the other end of the street, Dorazio. And I'm like, kind of look, and I'm like, there's my coach saying, get away from the car, come here. And at the time, I didn't think much on that. But it was a short time later when there was a little girl that was taken. And she was much younger than I. And that van was the one thing that was the common ground. And so, as I said, I was 16, so I didn't have an awareness about myself. It was later when I started to kind of piece it all together and think, oh my word. And then about 5 years ago at the Aspen Institute, an amazing human being who I hold so much respect for, her name is Monique Villa. She started the Trust Women Conference, and she was the head of the Thomson Reuters Foundation. And I heard her speak, and I was mesmerized by what she was talking about. And she was talking about modern day slavery. And it was the first time I had heard about the issue of human trafficking. And I sat there and I'm like, I need to know more. And my girlfriend, who had heard her speak, came to me and said, we're going to London. That conference is in London. And so we did. My husband, God bless him, he bought us tickets and his mileage. We flew to London and we went to the conference. And we were like these two moms in our, you know, in our country clothes amongst all these people who were out there speaking. And they were, you know, like Muhammad Yunus, who's a Nobel Peace Prize winner, and all these amazing human beings who were combating on the front lines, combating human trafficking. Not only that, but the victims of. And I knew then and there, my company was in its infancy. I knew that's what I was going to do. I knew that at that moment in time, I was taking on the cause, because it exists in the highways in the United States of America. It's they're trafficking children across borders from you know, Colorado to Utah to Nevada to California and Atlanta and Florida. I mean, this is how they transport the kids, is through traffic, through the highways. And so I'm having produce driven to me by trucks. And then our product goes out of Challis, Idaho, my hometown, and is trucked to the distribution centers. So it was important to me to take a look at that and make sure that along the way, we were not being a part of the trafficking problem, that the ways that our food was traveling, mm-hmm. the way that our food was being delivered, the way that our food was being farmed, there was no trace of trafficking in it. And I became more and more passionate about it. I was, two years ago, invited to come to the Trust Conference as a delegate. And I went again. And I sat there and I'm like, I've got to do more. I've got to do more. What more can I do to help eradicate this? In 2016, I was fortunate. We won the FedEx Small Business Grant.
Yeah.
And so that was so, we were like, yeah. I hadn't sold a one store yet. I was like, you know, peddling soup out of the back of my car and, you know, in farmers markets. And I'm like, wow, FedEx believes in me. I must be onto something, right? I was like, okay. So they flew myself and Cameron Miranda, who was my co-founder at the time, to Memphis. And I was a part of this amazing family there. And then I was invited to come speak at a conference that they did. And then they invited me to sit on the Entrepreneur Advisory Board. And that was August of 2017. And the first one I went to, they said, okay, and they invited us back to say, okay, how can we help small businesses? What do we do? What can we do to help you? And so I raised my hand. I want to stop human trafficking. They kind of looked at me and they laughed and like, that's great. We're talking about small businesses. And I explained myself. And they listened. I said, you know, you guys, you have truckers on the front lines. All I'm asking is that we partner you with this organization called Truckers Against Trafficking, and you have them teach your drivers how to spot human trafficking. And so with Truckers Against Trafficking, Candace Paris, and we came at it from every angle we could, and we kept pursuing it. And at one point, it was actually very funny because one of the members of FedEx that I'd been talking to, and I'd been bugging him, emailing him, calling him, and I was not hearing back from him. I'm like, well, wait a minute, I have this really important thing I need to talk to you about. And he called me up finally and goes, I know, we're going to do this. Did you realize it's hurricane season? I'm like, what's that got to do with human trafficking? And he said, no, FedEx is first on the ground. In any natural disaster, we fly in supplies, we fly in, you know, toilet paper, diapers, medical supplies, and I'm in the middle of that right now. When it's done, We'll get back to you. And sure enough, in January 2018, FedEx announced their partnership with Truckers Against Trafficking and immediately started training their drivers. Within a very short time, one of their California drivers actually spotted something, called it in, and they saved a little girl. And she was 14. And if I've done nothing else, I had a small part in saving that child's life. And you know, I'm a chef, as you know. Mm-hmm. I love cooking, and I always cook way too much, I'm told, which is, you know, it's part of who I am. And I will continue to cook for the, you know, duration of my life. But what my hope is that in 5 years or 10 years, when my organization is large enough that I can step back, all I want to do is figure out a way to combat human trafficking. Mm-hmm. You know, I jokingly tell everybody my password on my computer is "End Human Trafficking 2018. So each year I change it. "End Human Trafficking 2019. End Human Trafficking. So I keep changing it because I'm so optimistic. I'm like, I'm going to do something this year.
Now all our listeners know your password.
Yeah, I know. Everybody knows my password now. I may have to change it. It's so funny. And everybody at my office laughs at me because they're like, "Gina, really? Can you come up with something?" I'm like, no, I want to say it every day. And every time I have to sign into my computer, I am reminded, because it shuts down like every 3 minutes, right? So yeah. If you're not working, I am reminded why I'm here. I have a purpose. And I am... You know, my company's a startup. We're 5 years old. I've yet to take a paycheck, but I have a voice, and I leverage what I can in every situation I can to raise awareness to this horrific scourge that is happening in our country, and I need people to know that it happens in our country. It happens in our backyard.
Yeah, I think people associate trafficking or with other third world countries or places that, you know, it doesn't happen here. Mm-hmm. But so can you speak to that a little bit more in regard to why don't we see this on the news? Like, why don't we know more about it?
I do think more and more that people are starting to. But I also think we live in a society that hides the worst of us. We don't want to see that. We don't want to believe this in our country, this the land of the free and the brave, that people are selling children. And I mean, I know I don't want to, but I find if we don't talk about it, it perpetuates it. And I think that in the oncoming years, as people start to realize, and I mean within the next 12 months and the next, you know, 18 months and in 24 months, it's becoming more and more, people are becoming more and more aware. There's an amazing movie out there called I Am Jane Doe, which you can watch it on Netflix. And it's survivors of trafficking speaking out about it and what happened to them. And the woman who directed that movie, Mary Mazzio, she's behind helping with the FOSTA-SESTA laws. And she's, you know, they help to stop Backpage, which was selling victims online, basically. So I think more and more it will come to the forefront. But I do think you know, it's incumbent upon us who are less vulnerable, who have been given the grace of the lives that we live, to speak up and say something, to say, "Did you know?" And just, you know, we everybody that we sell to Whole Foods and Costco and places, and every truck that carries our stuff, we go to the people that we are partners, and we say, "This is what's going on in the world. We want you to be a partner with us in raising the awareness of this." So we speak to it and try to leverage it at every chance we get. And as time goes on, you'll hear more and more about our partnerships as we solidify them. But it's you know, so I say, I make organic non-GMO, you know, seed to shelf soup with no added sugar, and it's low sodium, and it's really good for you. But what I really love is that we're working on combating human trafficking. So in every sales meeting I walk into, That's what I do. I feed them first. I'm like, try my food. Here I am. This is what I do. But let me tell you about this. And I do it at every meeting I go into. And as does the rest of my team, because it's that the people that are on my team, Juan Carlos Duque and Rob Allen and Rebecca Argyros and Heidi Johnson and Jeremy Christina and then Cameron Miranda, who's my co-founder, we all speak to it. It's what has brought us to the table of this company. We are mission-based first, and it's what gives us purpose and life. And every time I think it's a little hard, every time I think, oh my goodness, I don't want to make another kettle of soup. I really don't want to make 60 more gallons of soup. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make 60 more gallons of soup, because the more people that I can feed, the more people that can read the back of my jar, the larger platform I have with which to speak and work on eradicating it in any way, in shape, and form I can. The more people I touch, the more people I can talk to.
Yeah. And obviously for me, like, this is, I want to support any way I can. I think it's incredible. And obviously you're one of my heroes. So well, needless to say, one of the things that I'd love to hear you, hear your take on is, you know, for a lot of women, especially now, the paradigm's definitely changing with, you know, light of the Me Too movement and women coming out as, in their own sense of empowerment, speaking their truth. In your life, has there been a moment or any moment where you felt like you couldn't do that? And if so, how did you manage to get out of it?
I think as a woman, we grow up in fear. Like, I can ask my husband, now, when you go to the store at night, do you sit in your car and look at your surroundings and check where you are, see where the lights are? Do you always park under the light? And then before you get out, make sure you have your keys in your hand, and do you shut the door and make sure it's locked so that nobody can get in? I mean, we grow up kind of trained to protect ourselves at every turn. And you know, I can say that my husband doesn't do that. He goes to the morgue, he goes in, he's done, boom. But I think that there are many moments in my life where I felt I couldn't speak. And I think that's why I'm speaking now, because I would say there have been occasions, you know, even in the last decade, where I felt I wasn't allowed to speak my truth. I wasn't allowed to speak up and say, but wait a minute, I disagree. Or wait a minute, that's not what I think. Or wait a minute, I want to do something different. And I'm 52. And I'm just learning to speak my truths. The day before my 50th birthday, I'll never forget this, I had applied for a loan to buy my building where my office, you know, Gina Cucina, is right now. And they called me to say, we got the loan for you. Great. We'll call you tomorrow with the details. And I'm like, okay, awesome. I called them on the day I turned 50. And they said, could you put your husband on the phone? And I went, my husband? His name was nowhere on any of the applications. It was all in the name of my business, Gina Cucina. His name was nowhere. But they wanted his permission to give me a loan, because he was the breadwinner. Because for 10 years, I had been raising our children and I didn't show an income. So that spoke volumes to me. And that was a turning point for me. And I said, you know what? Thank you. No, thank you. I don't want your money. And I walked away from it. And I found a bank to give me a loan based on me and my company and the promise of my company. And that is when I fully got my voice. It really is. It was my 50th birthday. I remember it so clearly, thinking, because my first instinct was, oh, yeah, you can talk to my husband. Mm. And then I stopped and I got really, really angry. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? No, I don't want your money.
So, I mean, you asked me the question of, and I maybe took a long way of finding the answer, but I was 50 years old and they wanted the permission of my husband to give me a loan for my business. And his name was nowhere on any of the paperwork.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. Okay, those of you listening to this podcast, here's the scene. You're the hiring expert for your company, and what you really need is help making your shortlist of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner who helps make your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview. All on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. So you can get started right now with the free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/loved. That's a $75 credit at Indeed.com/loved. Indeed.com/loved. This offer is valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions do apply. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is making professional counseling accessible, affordable, and convenient, so anyone who struggles with life's challenges can get help anytime, anywhere. BetterHelp offers access to licensed, trained, experienced, and accredited psychologists, marriage and family therapists, clinical and social workers, and board-licensed professional counselors. You can pay a low flat fee for unlimited counseling with your counselor. Counseling doesn't have to be expensive. There have been thousands of people who have benefited from online therapy, myself included. With BetterHelp, you can switch counselors at any point if you don't feel like you're getting enough benefit. And you can do it at your own time, at your own pace. You can communicate with therapists as often as you want and whenever you feel it's needed. Help is always available at the time and place that you need. So if you're ready, head over to betterhelp.com/loved. For a limited time, they're offering all of our Radically Loved listeners 10% off of your first month. You could also use the discount code LOVED and it'll automatically be applied. Head over to betterhelp.com/loved. That's LOVED. Or you can simply head over to the info button of this podcast and go to the link directly. A special thank you to BetterHelp for supporting us and our community. Being self-employed and running a business can be extremely challenging. I remember when I first started teaching yoga, one of the biggest worries I had was, how was I going to pay my student loans? When it comes to paying off debt, it can often feel like an uphill battle. High interest rates resulting in minimum monthly payments keeps you in an endless cycle of debt. Upstart can help you get ahead. Upstart is a fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple fixed monthly payment. Unlike other lenders, Upstart looks at more than just your credit score, like your income and employment history. So this means they can offer you smarter rates with trusted partners. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate upfront for loans between $1,000 to $50,000. And you can receive your funds as fast as 1 business day after accepting your loan. So if you're like me and you want to find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today, go to upstart.com/loved. That's upstart.com/loved. Don't forget to use our URL and let them know that we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain information provided on your loan application. Go to upstart.com/loved. And now back to our show.
Yeah, I think that there's so much to say in that. As women, again, there's that conditioning, right, that we have where we feel like if our partner is a male and makes more money than us, then we feel somehow like we, even though raising children, I think, is harder than running a business. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. I mean, there's been studies that have shown that. So, yeah, I mean, my hope is that that continues to shift and, you know, that we can utilize our voices, you know, in this generation, you know, you have a daughter and it's, they get to see who's sitting.
She's right sitting here. Right here. My beautiful daughter, Asha.
And I think that that's a beautiful thing. I think we lead by example. Mm-hmm. As far as your journey and your path, you know, you've had, other careers that you've had, I'm sure, in your life. And you know, you're really passionate about this shift that you're trying to change in the world with bringing awareness to human trafficking. I'm curious that for you as a mother, seeing the current state of the world and there being so much unhappiness and so much disconnection. Obviously what you do, you're a chef, your job is to bring people together. Yes. So to me, it's like, normally I would ask a question about a spiritual practice, but to me, I see that would be your spiritual practice. But I'm curious to hear from you, like what your take is, as a woman and as a mother, seeing what is happening right now in our communities.
You know, it's interesting because my daughter, who's 10, she said to my husband the other day, I don't want to move to a city, Daddy. And because we had talked about moving to someplace a little bit bigger for high school. And he said, why? And she said, because I'm too scared of what could happen to me. And in that realization that my daughter feels scared and that we're still perpetuating that. There does have to be a shift. And I think one of the things that I say consistently in my business is that there's many things that it goes back to, but my job is in feeding people well. I do believe that the better people eat, I think it shifts how they behave in the world. I mean, you go to a 5-year-old birthday party and you see them eat pizza and Doritos and they act differently. They come home and you feed them well, and it's a different child. When my two oldest, Jane and Theo, were 5, I invited the entire class out to cook a meal. We harvested from the garden. We were cooking a meal together. And I held up a potato and I said, do you know that this is where French fries come from? And they're like, no, that's a dirt ball out of the ground. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's, French fries are made from potatoes. So, and then another one, we held up a beet. I'm like, and this is a beet. And they're like, ew, it smells like dirt. And we cut it open and we steamed it. And then they tasted it. And it's really sweet. And so I think my job, because it's I play to my strengths, is to teach people how to feed themselves and their children better. If we start raising our children to value the proper nutrition, I think that there will be a shift in consciousness, because I do think it starts that small and that basic. The better you eat, the better you behave. I see it. I have 4 children, as you know, and I mean, all 4 of them, from Jade, Theo, Asha, Treya, 2 sets of twins, mm-hmm. they all behave in a different fashion when they've eaten well. And I think it's what I can do best, and that, and telling them to speak up, to speak their truth, to not be afraid to raise their hand and say, I have something to say, and to know that they're valued and that they're loved and that they have worth in the world exactly as they are. They are whole and beautiful beings. And if they go out into the world and share their love and their hearts, then they'll find their happiness. You know, I say, you know, figure out what you love to do and figure out how to make a life out of it. Don't get a job. Find what you love and figure out how to make your life around that love. And that, I think, is what my gift is to the world, is to help my children find that. And then I think it perpetuates as it goes out. I mean, those same kids that were 5, when they're now off in college. But like for their 8th grade graduation, they came to my house and they cooked the most amazing meal for their parents. And each one of them thanked me because for every year of their life, they spent 2 or 3 days, you know, out of the school year at my house cooking. And then all their camping trips, I cooked for all the camping trips. And
Well, yeah, I mean, you cooked for all our trainings, you know, like,
yeah, that's right.
this is what you do. Yeah. That to me is, I mean, there's no better way to create a ripple effect in the world. You know, here we are at the Lead with Love conference, you know, and we've seen so many incredibly powerful speakers and stories.
Amazing.
What has stood out for you since we've been here? I'm curious about that.
It's not one thing. What I have found every year I've come, I've always been like, it's always been frantic and there's so much going on. But it's this gathering of like-minded people who are leading with their hearts and who truly want to make a difference. I mean, from Deepak Chopra to Rod Stryker to Rosie Acosta. I mean, from all walks and makes of life who do all sorts of different things. But yet everybody is here for the same reason. We want to figure out how we can make the world a better and more conscious and more loving place to live in. And people show up. And they bring their A game and they bring their hearts and they lay it out. I mean, we just listened to Lynn Twist yes. and Sarah Vedder. And I'm like, I want more time with them. Mm-hmm. Amazing human beings, amazing women out there doing what they can to make the world a better place. And that's what stands out for me each year I've come to this event. This is my third year. And each year I meet people that I truly, truly adore and learn from. And I'm full of gratitude to Gina Murdoch for making this event what it is. And I applaud her and her team and her efforts in bringing people together who do want to make a change, who want to shift, you know, the culture of fear to love, which is... And was it Bob Chapman that said it the other day that you can't say love in the corporate world because
he did say
it's
that.
It's like, but in reality, we have to. Love is not a four-letter word. You know, it's how, it's like they said it today, from me or you to me and you. You don't have to fail for me to succeed. And I don't have to fail for you to succeed. We can succeed together.
Yeah.
And I believe that. I've never been one to take one down. I've always believed in the more we lift each other up, the better we are. And I mean, I live by the motto of the more you give, the more you live. And I actually have a ratty old t-shirt I've had for a decade or more that's falling apart, but it's my favorite one to sleep in every night. And I go to bed with that and I look at it, I'm like, that's right. What can I do for somebody else today? How can I give and make somebody else's life better today? And I do it almost to a fault, I must say.
No, I would say not. I would say that it's very truly inspiring, and I'm so happy to be able to share this time with you and to have this conversation, because I really want our listeners and everybody out there who's listening to this to just hear that there are so many people like Gina out in the world doing such incredible work that really needs more of our energy and attention and celebration. Because the other thing too is, if we spend too much time focusing on all the things that aren't happening, we then forget to celebrate that one life that was saved.
That's exactly, you know, out of California.
Yeah.
It really is. It's baby steps. It's one step at a time, one foot in front of the other. And, it's not all going to happen at once. It took a long time to get where we are today. It will take the same amount of time to walk it back. And it really is one at a time, yeah. You know, one at a time.
So I have some standard, not standard. I don't want to say it like that. Like, they're not great questions. but they are questions that I like to ask people that come on the show. Mm-hmm. One of them is, if there's any sort of like words of wisdom that you live by, or if there's been an ongoing mantra that you've had your entire life, or an undertone of some sort of fundamental belief that you've had that you still have today.
I do. As a senior in high school, was told I shouldn't further my education, that I was going to be a farmer's wife and pregnant. And so it's always been this, okay, watch me. Just watch, because I will always, it's that impetus of when you're told, no, you go the other direction, you work as hard. And I really believe it's in giving of your heart and giving of love and giving it your best always. And you may fail the target, but you keep moving it forward. You know, I constantly am, it's all about the grit and how many times I get back up. It's not about, I love my failures, and I've had many failures. And I at times was too young to understand the benefit they are to me. But now I'm 52 and I've got 4 kids and I have a startup, and I can say each one of them, each failure has led me to today, and I can embrace them. And I look for the failures now. I'm like, okay, where am I going to miss this one? Where am I going to miss the mark here? Because I know I'm going to learn. I know I'm going to find a different way to do this. So I think that, you know, when you're 20, 25, 30, your failures are like overwhelming, and they can just crush you. But I challenge you, dig in. Take those failures and go, yeah, I love that. I just really goofed, you know. But what can I do with that goof, you know?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, I love that. What does freedom mean to you?
Oh, freedom is so many things. I mean, freedom means getting up in the morning and making breakfast for my kids and taking a slow path to it, not running out the door. And freedom means, you know, being able to give and do back to the world without thought of how am I going to feed my kids? How am I going to do this? I want to be able to give my life of abundance and share it. And, you know, it's in simple things, the laughter of my kids. You know, one of my older boys called me today. He's in school in DC, and just hearing his voice, there's freedom in that, because I know he's doing well and he's thriving. And all I can ever hope for is the happiness and of my children, and that they're, you know, that to me is freedom, that I've given them the tools they need to be in the world. And they're out doing the things that they need to and they love. Because all that I do, it still comes back to my family, my husband, my kids. And I do it for them. My youngest son said to me yesterday as we're driving home, because he was there in the talk I gave, and he and my daughter handed out all the brochures on Kids Are Not For Sale. And he sat in the front seat, and he's little, he's 10, and he wraps his arm around me. And he goes, Mama, you make me so proud. And I started crying. I'm like, and it was just the two of us in the car. We were waiting for my husband and my daughter. And that's freedom, that I made my child proud and that he sees what I'm doing. And that's a gift to me. And I hope to always make them proud. And, that's freedom.
Dropping mic wisdom mic bombs over here, Gina. Is there anything, any advice that you can give? I mean, I feel like this entire talk, you've really given us so many, not only inspiration, but so many tools and so many things to aspire to. For the people that listen to this podcast, you know, one of the things that I find that I get a lot of questions about is this idea of feeling empowered, or feeling confident in their own abilities. right? So there's this, again, this theme of feeling like you have a voice and feeling like your voice matters. So if you had to give some advice to people out there who think that their voice doesn't matter, what would you say to them?
I think it would be similar to something I say to my kids, and I've said it once already, is find what you love and speak to it. Find a way to live to it. It's every single voice matters. You know, it's Amanda, whom I spoke with yesterday. She's one voice, yet she changed the lives of 26 million people by the legislation and the laws that she wrote. And that's one voice. So everybody's voice matters, even when you think it doesn't. When you're feeling those moments where you don't feel that you do matter or that you don't have the worth, find that one person in your life that you know loves you unconditionally and look them in the eye and let them tell you, I love you. And I think that love gives you the power to go out and say, you know, I'm loved. I have something to say, and this is what it is. Because I do believe if we feel loved, if we have confidence in that, it gives us more ability and freedom to speak and to stand up. And it only takes one person to love you, just one. I had an exchange with a dear friend of mine today, and we were asked what we were grateful for. And she said to me, I am grateful for having someone in my life whom I know loves me unconditionally in every aspect of me, and I can go to them in any moment. And that's what she was grateful for, that one person that she can turn to for anything. And my hope is that everybody has that one person. If you don't, please call me, Gina@GinaCuccina.com. Reach out to me, and I will look you in the eye and tell you why you are worthy and why you should speak your truth and why you have a voice that matters. Because I truly believe that everybody does. And I think everybody deserves the opportunity to speak to that. And I mean it. Gina@GinaCuccina.com. Write me a note. And I promise you, I will answer. I will. Because I just, we all deserve the chance to stand up and speak out. Everybody.
Thank you for sharing that. Oh, I can sit here and talk to you all afternoon. In fact, I feel like I've hung out with you this entire weekend.
I know, it's been fabulous.
Amazing. So one final question that I will ask you, and it's regarding this particular platform. And I started Radically Loved from this idea that we are all radically loved by God, Source, Universe, whatever higher power of your understanding, that there is a current that holds this earth, this planet, this community of people together, that we're loved. The universe works for us and not against us. For me, that was the underlying current that continued to fuel my commitment to my potential, is just the knowing, right?
Right.
So the question is twofold. The first one is, how do you feel radically loved? And the second one is, what do you radically love?
The second one is easy. I radically love my husband, my children, my company, and my mission. I radically love the things that I'm doing in the world. I'm extremely passionate about each and every one of them. And how do I feel radically loved? It's the simple things. For me, it's the simple actions of, you know, when one of my children just wraps their arms around me, when one of my children, I mean, my son in DC called me and said, Mama, I need a recipe. I'm cooking dinner every night. So he cooks dinner every Sunday for his flatmates.
Oh my goodness.
Because he's the only one that knows how to cook. And I'm like, that made me feel radically loved, that my child is out there cooking dinner for eight people that I don't know that he's in a taught. Or one of my team members, one of my, you know, coworkers will call me and say, I just did this today towards our mission. You know, I'm like, yes, that's amazing. Thank you. You know, or, you know, I feel radically loved in most moments because I, of course I have my ups and downs, but I have a life of abundance and a lot of gratitude in my heart. And so I radically love and I feel radically loved. And when I radically love, it comes right back at me. And so that's one of the many things I love about your podcast. When I heard the title, I'm like, yes, that is the perfect title. Because we all should be out in the world radically loving one another and what we do. That's how we shift culture.
Yeah, that's right.
And unconditionally. You can't put conditions on radical love.
No. So. And it's root, right? It's the root. It is the root. And to me, it's like that's life, you know, that's indeed what life is about. And so, so for the people listening obviously you've given us your email address. So where can they go for more information about you or your cause and what you're doing? Where can we direct them to go?
GinaCucina.com. It's just GinaCucina.com. There's a mission page in there. It talks all about our mission. If you want to be fed well, radically loved and well fed, you can order our products online and receive it and feel radically loved in your hearts.
Yes.
Because
your tummy.
Yeah. The first ingredient in all of our products is love. We actually had that on our first labels and got reprimanded for it by the FDA. So, uh-oh. So they said it wasn't tangible. And I said, I beg to differ.
Oh,
I beg to differ. It is tangible. So, just GinaCucina.com. It's a real simple and like I said, there's information there on our mission and how you can help and how to spot human trafficking and what you can do. And we ask that you please do not confront the traffickers. If you find yourself in a situation where you see it, call law enforcement. There's an 800 number on our website, and there's also a PDF of one of our cards that talks about how to spot it, what to do, who to call. So you can download it, print it up, and carry it in your pocket, and you'll have all that you need to know to be able to contact the hotline. And they guarantee they'll be there within 30 minutes of the call.
Great. Yeah. And so for those of you listening, if you go to the show notes, if you click the info, all of the links that Gina talked about, including her email, will be on the show notes. So you can just go and click and get more information right now. And I do just want to take a moment to thank you, Gina, for all the work that you're doing, for all the lives you're impacting, not just with the incredible food that you make, but with your purpose, with your this huge undertaking of impacting at a global scale. And I am so, like I said, I'm so inspired and I'm so grateful, and I feel like I can't thank you enough for everything that you're doing.
Well, I thank you, A, for coming up and saying, I'm Rosie, because I've been wanting to meet you for a long time. Yeah, so I'm so full of gratitude and for giving me the opportunity to talk about something I'm so passionate about. I really appreciate you taking the time and reaching out and sitting down with me. It's just, it is what I'm here to do in this world, is to speak to our mission and to feed people well. And thank you for the opportunity to talk about it.
Thank you. You're amazing. Will you come back?
Anytime.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I am so excited to continue to do this. Please share this with your friends. Email us. Message us on Instagram at Rosie Acosta or on Twitter at Rosie Acosta. Subscribe on iTunes. Write a review. We love doing this. So please help us continue to keep this podcast going. Thanks for listening.